So the topic this time is the recognition step of treatment, which is the first step in the treatment process. And treatment is affirmative prayer, known as spiritual mind treatment. And that's an odd term for people who've not heard it before, because it's about treating the mind to recognize the truth rather than treating the condition in the physical world. And so coming to recognize the spiritual truth of a situation is the treatment that is necessary to make the change, to help reveal the wholeness that already exists. So it comes down to the belief in science of mind that we're not trying to create something that is not. We are in the process of revealing something that already is, from a spiritual perspective. And so that's what recognition starts us in the direction of. And we're using the book called The Sacred Continuum by Stephanie Sorensen. The subtitle is Our Life Between Prayers. So we pray and then we live our life between prayers. And this is what she says about the sacred continuum, so that we have a context for what she's saying. We live and move and have our being in a sacred continuum, an unbroken and inseparable wholeness which has no beginning or end, no pause or disconnectedness, no separate parts. If we want to reveal the truth of being permanently, we can't do it by praying periodically. The divine ear is always listening. We are in constant communion with Spirit. We must consciously live our prayers and choose our thoughts carefully, moment to moment, if we want to change our lives. And she goes on to say, as we learn to think and speak all of the time as if we truly know our relationship to that presence in which we live and move and have our being, we consciously experience the power of our word in every moment. We realize there is no in or out to treatment because we are aware that every thought and word enters into the creative medium the moment it occurs, and every thought and word is a prayer. So in fact, there pretty much is no life between prayers. If all thoughts are prayers and we are always thinking, then that experience of life is prayer. Now, what are we praying for or about? That becomes the question. And are we consistent in what we're speaking, what we're saying, what we're thinking in the moments when we are consciously doing spiritual mind treatment, or the moments when something goes wrong and we're having a reaction to what's happening in that moment? That reaction is also a prayer. May not be a prayer with the same intention and direction as the prayer that we might do at another time. So my section of this book to talk about today is recognition. And I've read this section 5, 6, 8 times in the last 3 weeks. And Emma Curtis Hopkins uses the phrase dry bones. Are you looking at the mountaintop or are you focused in the valley of dry bones? And I have to admit that this chapter felt like dry bones to me. It didn't make me feel juicy about the recognition of God. And when I give a talk, I want to feel passion. I want to be excited about what I'm sharing. So I kept collecting. That's why I have so many books here. I kept collecting more information. You know, oh, well, I could go back and look at the treatment and meditation class and what I've taught about this in the past in that class and in the foundations class, and what did Ernest say in Ideas of Power and Anatomy of Healing Prayer. And I've gone back and back and back because I've taught this subject 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. And I felt like I had nothing new to say, and that most of you have heard me say it all already. There, the same thing wasn't going to inspire me today, and I didn't think it was going to inspire you. But I went back to treatment and meditation class and was reminded of this section, which is actually also in the foundation class, called The Technique and the Fire. And we study about this in the classes on treatment because Ernest Holmes said, I know there is a technique for spiritual mind treatment which can be taught. I also know there's something vital to a treatment that cannot be taught. My identification with the center and source of my being, which is pure spirit. This I must find for myself through continuous awareness of the presence that surrounds and indwells me. I make conscious use of the principle for a definite purpose, but I must ground my action in a deep inner perception and conviction of the spiritual truth about myself and any condition related to the treatment. A perception of wholeness is the consciousness of healing. If we are to become whole, it must be through the perception of wholeness. The mold which we create with the intellect is necessary, but the realization, that which catches fire from heaven, must be like heaven. Fire from heaven. I wanted to feel fire from heaven. Boy, I wanted to feel the fire, and I wasn't feeling the fire. So I was remembering other times when I wasn't feeling the fire. And what did I do in other times? And I remember a night a few years ago, one of those 3 o'clock in the morning wake with the ew feeling where life doesn't feel like all is well. And what did I do that night? Because that night, in spite of so many years of prayer and practice of prayer, daily practice of prayer for decades, I was not remembering how to pray. And the wonderful part about spiritual mind treatment is it teaches you a formula for prayer. You do 5 steps. You do recognition that God is. You do unification. I am that. Then you do realization. Therefore, my life works in this way. Then you say thank you and you get to the feeling of gratitude for it already being realized. And 5th is the release step. You let go and you allow it to be. So I had this formula, but even that night, even the formula wasn't working, and I fell back to the children's prayer, which I do as 11 words. God is, I am, therefore it is, thanks, over and out. And so I could remember those 11 words. I couldn't remember anything else about God that moment, but I could remember those 11 words. So I started doing those 11 words as a mantra. God is, I am, therefore it is, thanks, over and out. God is, I am, therefore it is, thanks, over and out. God is, and I did it for a while, and it calmed me down. It slowed down my thinking. It shifted my energy. And the next time I said it, it came out, God is love. I am love. Therefore, there is love in my life. Thanks, over and out. And all of a sudden, I remembered how to pray. And that was such a relief, such a relief. And I was reminded that the fire is about filling in the form with the technique sometimes. You just show up and you do it, and the fire comes. So you fill the form, you trust the process, and you believe that as you relax into it, the fire arrives. So that's what I was doing with this talk. I was filling the form. I was going to every book. I was going back to the beginning. I was saying, okay, somewhere in here there's something I really do want to talk about. And when I think about the mystical nature of science of mind, and Reverend Hillary brought that wonderful letter from Reverend Mary Ann Trefaro that she read at the at the party on Sunday where she talked about the mystical nature of science of mind. Reverend Marianne was my very first teacher, and she taught me that science of mind is about connection to source and the direct connection in each of us to the divine. We are each already that. It is within us. And so I was reminded of Ernest in one of the books, I think it's Anatomy of Healing Prayer, I didn't look up the quote, says at the in the book, he says, we have these spiritual experiences, but we don't talk about them. And I was so frustrated when I read that. It's like, talk about it, I want to hear what you experienced. I want to hear what you had to say. And I think that may be the difference between 2012 and the prior century teachings about spirit, because now we do talk about it. And we have this incredible international internet that connects us with other people talking about it. And there are books, and there is music, and there is art, and there are people channeling, and there are people who are experiencing God who are sharing that and allowing us to tap into what they are experiencing through their sharing. And I've always said, if we are God expressing, then the capacity to express is inherent in our being. And in other places, Ernest did say that. He said in Anatomy of Healing Prayer, we are here to express that which is, and that which accounts for all those inward feelings that everyone has, nebulous, incoherent at times, sometimes nearer the surface than at other times, but a steady persistency back of all things, an urge to live, to sing, to dance, to express life, to create. That's the juiciness of it, isn't it? It's that urge within us to express. And if we are God expressing, and we are, then the capacity to express is inherent in us. We are that. That expression is what we're here to do. We are that. So what are we here to express? You know, what's ours, uniquely ours to express? When people experience this mystical nature of who they are, each one has a completely unique constellation of gifts and abilities that allows that expression to come and to be felt and to be experienced and then to be given out again in a unique way. And Holmes often quotes Emerson in saying that we are an inlet and an outlet of God, that we feel within us something unique, and then we let it out in a way that comes forth from us in a way that's like no one else at all. And so when you connect with someone you love, you feel the love from that person in a way that's unique to any experience you've ever had. All of us have this capacity to express our love, to express our being in a powerful and wonderful way that is spirit. And we get to revel in that personal expression of other people, and we get to revel in our own personal expression when we feel passionate and juicy about what we're sharing. So reaching for that connection with the divine, we have that capacity to feel it within ourselves. And then with our open heart, we have the capacity to share it with another. And recently I had an experience on Wednesday night at dinner where a friend of mine said, I heard you at the party Sunday night talk about Evensong, and it was such a powerful experience. I want to use it in my own work. And I could feel that he could feel what we had been talking about on Sunday. And that is such a remarkable experience when you have that heart-to-heart connection with a person, recognizing that divine experience that you've both had that you shared vibrationally. And like, that's as good as it gets for me, when you get both the vertical connection and sort of this horizontal connection, this both simultaneously. You can share that oneness, you can share that knowing, you can share those goosebumpy, thrilling, juicy feelings with another. In the past, they talked about mystics as being the path of the lonely ones, because there's one mystic here in Europe, and there's another one in China, and there's another one in Japan, and they didn't always ever meet another mystic. They didn't have someone else to talk to about it. And today, with this time of awakening, there are so many other people who get it, who feel it, who know it, who resonate with it, and who are able to share it with us. So we get to experience that divine energy. And when I was looking for what I wanted to share, I was going back to what Ernest said at various times, and he said in Can We Talk to God on page 11, we can talk to God just as consciously as we talk to people. And if we expect it, believe it, and feel it, we will receive just as direct a response. We will not receive an audible word, because God's audible word is placed in this creation in the mouths of individuals. This is the only audible word God has on this plane. So someone else being willing to express their awareness creates the audible word, creates the music, creates the art that someone else can resonate with. And in our own feeling of it, we put it out into the world. And we do it in our own way. You know, we can embed our love in our knitting or in our massage therapy or energy work. We can write it into our music. We can love it into the people we work with in our work. Our energy shows up embedded in our art. Whatever it is, we each have our own ministry of sharing that truth in powerful ways through what we do. And in one of the books, the Holmes Papers books, Ernest Holmes says, no singer has ever lived his minstrelsy. And when I first read that, ever lived his whole minstrelsy, I thought he meant ministry, and I thought that's a typographical error. And then I realized that he meant minstrelsy. We are each a minstrel of the song, the one song that we hear from the divine life, however it's expressed in us and through us. And so how do we get there? How do we experience something to share? Well, Holmes suggested that we listen, which is always a good place to start. There is a greater mind within each one which may be called upon. Nothing is too great or small for this mind. Listen. Be receptive. Believe absolutely. Be convinced. The one with a great purpose in life always is consciously or unconsciously holding this purpose up to the universal influx, thus causing an outpouring of divine wisdom through his or her individual mind. So we allow that incoming, and then we have something to give out. So how powerful is it within us? How juicy are we feeling? And if we're not feeling juicy, are we willing to fill the form in and trust that the juice comes with the process of the practice? We practice. That's why we call it spiritual practice, because we practice it day by day. We practice affirmative prayer. We practice meditation. We practice mantra and music, we practice. And in that practice, we allow that divine energy to flow out that's flowed in first. So as we move into this practice, We periodically, at least Carla reminded us to speak for ourselves, I periodically have experiences that shake me up. They kind of blast through my preconceived notions and show me a whole new way of seeing something, feeling something, knowing something that I don't know. And sometimes it comes through as a love that feels like I'm shot through the heart, and my whole heart shatters out to the ends of the universe and I cry for hours. That movement is huge sometimes. Sometimes it's a tiny little aha. And sometimes it's just a movement of the heart that brings a tear to my eye. Sometimes it's a tingling in my forehead or on the crown of my head. Sometimes it's thrill bumps all over my body. How do you recognize spirit? There's a physical component. Sometimes you get a gut feeling, there's an intuition that you recognize spirit in some powerful way in your life, that you've been moved in that moment. How do you recognize spirit in your life? When you feel that feeling, how does it come? How do you experience spirit emotionally? Do you experience spirit as awe or reverence? Do you experience spirit as laughter and irreverence? Is it fun, funny, and familiar? Is it bigger than the universe and something that takes your breath away? How do you experience it? And there's a gazillion ways to experience it. Bob Seema has a song that says, "The day you wake up sad and empty, don't go back to sleep. There's a million ways to kneel and kiss the ground." And we find those ways when we fill the form and practice, and all of a sudden the inspiration comes, the aha, the moment. So what really does it for me these days is the book that I've written that I'm getting ready to publish. And so I was thinking about the recognition step of treatment, and I actually wrote something about the recognition step of treatment in my book. So I thought, well, that's a good place to end this talk, is what I learned as I wrote my book and I talked to the beloved inside me. And I heard the words of the beloved. I heard that divine energy. How did I experience it? So I was giving a workshop on affirmative prayer, and so I said to the beloved, "I had a powerful experience yesterday as I was writing about the qualities of God. I used to write, 'God is love and light, peace and power, grace, energy and joy. God is intelligence, harmony, oneness, wholeness and abundance, infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient.' The whole quality of God thing. I've said that a million times. But yesterday, based on my experience with the beloved, I wrote, 'God is mine.' Wow, did that give me thrill bumps. God is mine. I've never even before thought of the possibility that God is that personal to me." And the beloved said, "We are so glad you are getting it, that we are yours. We are everybody's. It's good to be omnipresent." And I wrote more. I wrote, "God is mine, intimate, present, loving, patient, wise, caring, friendly, supportive, fun, funny, divine, beloved, closer than neck veins, nearer than hands and feet." That always makes me laugh. I love that phrase. And the beloved said, "Yep, that's a good summary of how you are feeling in this relationship with us. Well done expressing it, and even more well done allowing yourself to sink so deeply into this feeling." And I said to B, "How do you feel about me?" And they said, "We adore you. You are precious to us. We attend to your every thought and give you feedback about whether it serves you or not. If it's taking you toward where you want to go, we tell you yes with positive emotions like joy and excitement. If it's taking you away, we tell you not so much with a mild negative emotion like irritation or frustration. If it's more like, hell no, you feel our guidance even stronger, as fear, anger, or shame. We love you so much that you are always our focus of attention, just as everyone else is. You have your own non-physical team. We are your family, your angels, your coaches, and your cheerleaders. We are your lovers, your parents, your employees, and your mentors. All those human roles do replicate the way we feel about you and support you. We love you, we guide you, we delight you. We want the very, very best for you in every moment always. I said, it sounds so wonderful, B, but it feels too good to be true. They said, we know, C, you aren't accustomed to knowing just how good your life can be yet. You've only just begun experiencing what having a personal relationship with us can feel like. The consequences of feeling loved and living loved are far-reaching, endless really, infinite. We will always be discovering more about each other on both sides of this relationship. And now that we can talk about it, it's much more thrilling for us as it is for you. Relationship is limited in the absence of communication. In a sense, we are always in communion with you and everyone. We are you. Yet communion that is unconscious is not nearly as satisfying as being able to hang out together, laugh, jokes, share ideas and feelings, and be together, awake and aware. I said, I'm glad it's good for you to be. And they said, it's the best. This is the way we'd love to talk to everyone, but everyone doesn't open the door to us. As you said, to many it seems so good to be true. Others have been taught that we are to be feared or we are judgmental. Who'd want to talk to someone like that? People who fear us actually do better not to talk to us because they would be unable to hear us accurately. You hear us very clearly because your deepest desire is to share your love with us and to feel our love for you. That's an awesome foundation for any relationship. So if we are here to feel the love that God is, and we are able to do it in some powerful way, each of us having that own way, we have to ask ourselves, what is our way? How do we want to feel it? What have we experienced in the past? When have you had that feeling of goosebumps or thrill bumps or gut feeling or intuition or juiciness? When have you seen the vision or the sparkle of love, of life, of light, of God? There is an experience for you that is unique to you, just as the conversation with B is a unique experience for me. And I love sharing the juiciness because I think that as we share that with each other, we're more likely to resonate with it. We're more likely to feel it. We're more likely to know it. We're more likely to be it. And so when we don't feel it, fill the form, do the practice, and trust. When we do feel it, notice. Write it down, share it with others, anchor the feeling in some powerful way so that you can remember, so that you recognize God in action in your life, just as I do. Thank you. Oh, thank you.